I thought I'd take just a few minutes this morning and try to encourage you. We've had a 40-day fast going on that will end this Tuesday. I like that. That will end this Tuesday. And making a total of people fasting every day for 40 days before the camp meeting. And I want to say I appreciate it, and I know the Lord does. And I know that God does not take fasting lightly or as a joke. It touches God, it moves God, and God can do anything as a result of people praying. As I said Wednesday night, prayer, somebody said prayer changes things. That's not, I know what they mean, but that's not true. Prayer don't change nothing. Prayer touches God, and God changes things. God's one that does. There's a lot of people praying all the time, don't ever do nothing. They're praying to the wrong God. So prayer by itself does nothing. The prayer that touches God, and God changes things. And we got folks coming from all over this week. Matter of fact, they're already getting here. They're already getting here. We've got one sitting right over there, infiltrated. Stand up over there and wave at them, Brother Curly. Wave at them right, like Curly does. And you know what? They're already coming. He's down here to get a blessing, ain't that right? He's not down here just to fellowship, eat. He's been getting plenty of that in New York, looks like. And they got them big pretzels on the side of the road, that big around. So he's not down here because he's starving to death physically. He's down here to get something from God. And here in Genesis chapter 4 this morning, I want to call your attention to verse number 26. And Adam's son, Seth, had a baby. His wife did anyway. And they named this baby. And the Bible said something unusual happened here. Look at verse number 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's the first mention in the Bible you have of people praying. Adam's grandbaby was born, and right then, people said, we need help from God. We're going to get through this. God's going to have to help us. And so, I'll talk to you a little bit, just for a few minutes, about that this morning, about praying and how important it is. It is the greatest privilege that a child of God has. It is the most unused privilege that we have, and it is amazing how we do not use our open door to God's throne no more than we do, isn't it? As you know, if you're like me, the devil will cheat you out of your prayer time. He'll do anything he can to cheat you out of your time of really praying. And you know something? The devil don't care how religious you get. As long as you don't get in touch with God and get some praying done and really get right with God. You know something this morning, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to have to learn how to pray. We're going to make it in this generation. We must learn how to pray. I was listening to a tape last night on my way to the revival down there where I've been preaching this week. And I was driving down from here to Lenore, actually, and then you're just little over halfway there when you get to Lenore, time-wise. And I was on my way to Lenore listening to this tape by Brother Joe Parson. Joe Parson was the old preacher who preached the revival meeting that I got saved in. Now, I actually got saved before I heard him preach. The power of God was all over Nebo, drawing men, women, boys and girls, especially teenagers, to the Lord. And I went in that night, and I sat back. If you've heard my testimony, 100 times, a lot of you. And I came in that night, and God got a hold of me. And I mean, I sat down on the front pew. I was wiping tears. I cried for 45 minutes. My hair was long. My face was sunburnt. I remember pushing my hair back like that and sat down right on the front row. And that old man of God got up, and he looked right down at me and all them people and pointed at me and said, did you get everything straight, son? I said, yes, sir. I really didn't know if I had or not. But I wasn't about to tell him no. I believed I did. As far as I knowed, I had. I didn't know what it meant, really, to be saved. I knew something big had just happened to me. I didn't know the Roman road from I-40. I didn't know one verse of scripture and where it was at in the Bible. I knew there was a God. I knew there's a heaven. I knew there's a hell. And I knew that whatever I had just done the right thing. But I'll tell you what, that old man, you say, well, what did that, preacher? That old man learned how to walk with God and pray. And I heard him tell on the tape last night. He didn't speak loud. He didn't scream, holler, and run around. I mean, he's way up in years. And he'd just kind of talk quiet, but he'd just cut you and cut you and cut you. He's preaching last night on that tape, and he said he worked with a bunch of old construction workers on a job many years ago, probably 1940-something. And he said all these bricklayers and all these carpenters, stuff, they cuss and drink and gamble, raise Cain all the time, and live it up. And he said he went to work there, and he said it's hard to live right around a crowd like that, as many of you know. And he said this. He said, I worked with them 7 years, and he said, I never went to work one morning in 7 years without praying an hour for them boys. And boy, when he said that, a bomb dropped on me last night. And he just said it in passing and went right on like it was nothing. He said, I never went to work one morning with the people I work with without praying an hour for them. Now, don't that tell you a little bit about what's wrong with our generation of Christianity? Listen, people, we got better facilities than the church has ever had. We got nicer floors, carpet, lights, pews, lights, camera, action, man. We got everything that the church has never had, and we got less of the power of God than churches ever have in this nation, and we're suffering because, you know, there are churches all over this country that think just because the bills are paid and the money's coming in, and boy, everything's happy and everything's flowing smooth, that God is blessing us. You can have all of that and be just as dead as 4 o'clock. Or once again, we need old-time, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, God-sent power that comes from God to shake us once again and move us to our boots and will cause us to call upon the name of the Lord like people did back then. Ain't nothing else going to work. Our problem is we don't believe God answers prayer no more. You say, well, Brother Danny, does God answer all your prayers? No, He ain't yet. But I've seen enough of my prayers answered to make me believe and keep on praying. Let me tell you what happened to me this week. I went in that little church, and I go to so many churches, I can usually keep them straight in my head, directions and everything. People say, well, how do you remember? Sometimes you come up to an intersection, and you think, I believe I go right here, and I believe that's in Maryland. That road looks just like that, and it's hard that way sometimes, because people start running together. Sometimes I'll see somebody around here and say, hey, how you doing? And I know, that ain't them, they live in Florida, you know, or something like that. But most of the time, I can keep it pretty straight in my head. And I was going down there last night, or the first night, there's a young man come to me, and he said, hey, Danny, you remember me? I said, yeah, I believe I did. I remembered his face, and I thought, now, where do I know him from? He said, don't you remember me? And I said, I do remember you, brother, but I don't know where from. And that's the truth. I remembered his face, but I couldn't tell his name or what. He said, don't you remember me coming to youth camp this summer? And I don't know if some of y'all remember this. I believe Brother Robbie was there. I don't know if some of you other men was there. He said, I came out to camp this summer during the month of July while I was out there with the teenagers. That was my excuse for not remembering. Man can't remember nothing out of a week like that and got a good excuse for it. Hey, man, if you can remember your name after you've been out there 3 weeks with teenagers, I think you deserve an honor of some kind or another. And if you can remember your way back to Marion from out there, brother, you deserved a pat on the back or something. And I said, I do remember you coming. He said, you remember what I come for? He said, I wanted you to pray for him. Then it hit me. He got on the telephone that day and called his wife. And him and his wife had been married a few years and they wanted to have a baby real bad. And it just never happened and never happened and never happened. And he called her up at work one day. He said, I'm going to Marion. She said, why are you going to Marion? This is way down yonder, almost North Wilkesboro. He said, I'm going to see Danny Castle. She said, what for? He said, I'm going to go tell him to pray. I don't know why he thought about me. And he said, I drove to Marion. And he said, we got down and we prayed. And I said, yep, I remember it now. I do remember it. And there might have been some of you that were there that night that got there. There's about four or five of us men. We got around him. And he said, I want y'all to pray that my wife will have a baby. I said, Lord, that ain't like most of them I know is praying they'll quit having them. Around our church in the water fountain or something. But he said, pray that my wife will have a baby. Does any of you guys remember that? Does anybody, you remember that, Brother Rob? Well, anyway, he came up to me the other night and he said, I just want you to know. We got down out there and I said, oh God, let these poor crazy people have, no, I didn't say that. I said, Lord, give them a baby. I meant it. And I asked God and I meant it. And you know what? He said, 2 weeks later, she turned up pregnant. 2 weeks. He said, isn't it? I said, well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I thought maybe God answered my prayer. Amen. And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes you think, boy, I really felt something and God moved. It's not always that way. Sometimes just a little simple prayer. You don't think a whole lot of it, but God hears and God does move. Listen, there ain't no telling what God might do here this weekend if we just call on His name and believe it. Amen? No telling. No telling. And his wife is pregnant, sure enough, right now. And they're all happy and smiling and all that. I thought, praise God. That Psalm 113:9 said, He makes the barren woman to have a child. It's all the way through the Bible like that. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that. And listen, the people out there in the world, they're watching us. They're watching us to see if our prayers are answered. They're watching us to see if anything supernatural comes our way. They're watching us to see if anything takes place in our life that they could see take place in their life. If nothing ever happens to us that don't happen to them, what is the difference in us and them? We better learn how to pray again. And we better spend some time in prayer again. You're just like me. We get too busy, don't we? We get so busy in the Lord's work that we just don't take time to pray. Boy, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't hurt a bit. Some of you young men, young preachers especially, get in here early and begin to call on the name of the Lord. Get out here before the services. We always meet out here in the parking lot. There's so many men we can't get in the prayer room. We'll get out there and bow and call upon the name of the Lord. You say, what are we praying for, preacher? We're praying that God will shake our church and our community, our city, the boys and girls walking up and down the streets out here. These kids over here, nothing short of the miracle of God. You're the best preacher in the world, but it won't change somebody's life till God's power comes and changes their life. Amen. I picked up an old drunk out there one day, and I picked up one the other day, to tell you the truth. Out there, and he had heard of our church, and it had just been here a while back. I picked him up right out there, and I've witnessed this guy for years. And I was driving down the road, and I said, hey, bud, we still got your seat empty up there at the church now. And here's what he said. He looked over and he said, appreciate that, Danny. He said, you people been through a lot up there, ain't you? I said, yeah, we have. He said, I've been watching you. And he said, I just want you to know that if I ever decide to go to church, that's where I'm going to come. And man, I let him out down yonder greasy corner somewhere, and I got thinking after he got out, I thought, glory to God, hallelujah, that drunk paid me the best compliment that I've got around this town in forever. You know it? I'd hold up, Brother Herod. Do you know what that guy said? He said, I have watched your church. I have watched you when it was hard for you. I've watched you when the whole town was making fun of you. I watched you when you was going through your trials and stuff. And you stayed in there and stayed faithful and stuck together. And he said, if I ever decide to go to church, that's where I'm going to church. They've got to see something different in us. Hey, you people, listen, being a Christian's more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. That's a little part of it. It's every day of your life. It's every day of your life being a child of God. You're not perfect. I mean, we're miserable failures, and we all make a terrible mess sometimes. But thank God there's something different about a child of God. They're watching us. I'd a whole lot rather have that compliment from that drunk than I would some preachers I know in this town that come and say, oh, Danny, God bless you. How's the church? Yeah, right. And they're hoping like crazy something bad's happened. Amen. Boy, you're too quiet this morning. Way, 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 way too quiet. You better liven up. Some of them preachers this weekend's going to blast you. They're going to think you backslid. But I want to tell you what, there's people watching us. I never know. Everywhere I go, I believe the Lord just does it to me to keep me on my toes. We was going to Lenore the other night, stopped at a service station. I went to get some gas. I came out. There's this old boy standing over here on the corner like this, and I was standing around out behind my forerunner out there, and boy, I was standing around it like this. And he looked at me and looked out at him. Hey, he had hair way down here like a girl. He said, "You're an insurance man, ain't you?" I said, "No." Talk to me like that. No, I didn't say that. "What you talking about?" He said, "You're an insurance man or a lawyer or something like that." And I said, "No, I'm a preacher." He said, "Oh, you're a preacher?" And I said, "Yeah, you better go to church Sunday." He said, "I'm going to church Sunday. I'm going to Marion." I said, "You are?" I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to hear that preacher. It's on 88.1. That's what he said. I said, "That's me." He might be here this morning. Are you here? He ain't here. But you know who he is, right, Tammy? He mentioned you. Anyway, he said, "I'm going to hear that preacher on 88.1 from Marion." I said, "That's me." He said, "It is not you." I said, "It is." I said, "I'm Danny Castle." He said, "Are you?" He said, "It's good to see your face." He said, And you know what? I shouldn't have done this, but my wife is in the forerunner, and I'd seen her turn around looking, and I said, "Hey, act like you're going to come over here and fight me. Just start a fight to scare my wife." And I said, I thought he'd come over and start doing that. I was going to act like I was only in a fight to see what she'd do. And she had the window rolled down and heard me say that. Well, I told him, I said, "Come over here and act like we're in a fight, man, so she'll think we're fighting." I shouldn't do her like that. But I tell you one thing. You never know who's watching you. Do you know that? And he's coming, I reckon. He mentioned you, Tammy. And he's coming tonight. I'll introduce him to you tonight. Y'all remind me. And I want to tell you, brother, we never know. This world's got their eyes on God's people. You may not know it, but they got their eyes. They ain't no telling who listened to that radio program. I have not the slightest idea. I know I got a letter from Arkansas. Said they was going to kill me and my days were numbered and signed Satan. You know, that's somebody, pre-runner of Marilyn Manson or somebody. But I want to tell you one thing. We don't know what this world is doing without us. And they have no hope without God's people getting in touch with God again. Listen, the hope of Marion, the hope of North Carolina, the hope of this nation, the hope of our nation this morning is not better school buildings or better education or science or education. It's for God's people that are called by God's name to humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. And seek His face. Boy, that hurts with a sore throat. And get back right with God where we ought to be. You know what's the matter with God's people? We are spoil, rotten, and give up too quick. We come down here and pray, "Oh God, help me!" If God don't do it, in one day we quit. One man come to the altar and said his wife left him. He'll come down the altar and pray two times. If she don't come back, he's done gone, got drunk, and hung him a woman. Amen? Hey, listen, brother. We give up too easy. We're not willing to suffer. We're not willing to wait on God. We're not willing to take anything nowadays. Not at all. We give up too easy. We ain't willing to tough it out. You say, "You got things you go through?" Sure I do. So do you. You can either give in and do what your flesh wants or tough it out and say, "I'm going to stay right with God." That's why the Bible calls you a soldier. Somebody said, "I'm just going to kill myself." You know, everybody brags about killing herself, never does. I ain't never had nobody tell me they was going to kill herself that killed herself. Have you? "Oh no, I better go over there. He said he's going to kill himself." That's exactly what he wants you to do. Well, I got off on that. Some guy said the other, "Oh yeah, guys tell me," like the preacher said, "this man down there called him and said, 'All right, everybody, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. I mean it.' His daddy wouldn't let him have his truck. And he got mad and said he's going to kill himself. And you know what he done? He took a 16-gauge shotgun and he drove to the hospital. This nut drove to the hospital, got just a few feet of the emergency room and put that 16-gauge shotgun to his shoulder and shot himself in the shoulder. That is the dumbest. Why in the world would anybody do that? He wanted to make sure he'd fall right in that emergency room. Hey, man, if you're going to kill yourself, you don't go to the emergency room, you go to the funeral home. You must want attention awful bad to go to the emergency room and shoot yourself in the shoulder with a 16-gauge shot. You're retarded if you do that. You're crazy. Most people just say they're going to kill herself. They just want attention. That's the generation of men you're dealing with. We don't take nothing. We won't take nothing from nobody. Let me tell you a little story. I ain't got time to get in all the messages this morning. Let me tell you a little story. The pastor where I'm preaching revival this week is a good young man, loves God with all his heart. He's only 20, I guess, I'm guessing 27, 28, 29, somewhere along in there. He's got a wife, a little baby 6 months old, and another little kid just looked like maybe about 3 years old. This boy drives from Hickory all the way to Ferguson and tries to pastor that little church. They only run about 45 or 50 on Sundays. Way back in the middle of nowhere. You talk about a discouraging place to try to pastor a church. That'd be discouraging. No, I mean, there ain't no houses. Way out in the woods. And that old boy works a job, public job during the day. Drives on Wednesday and drives on Sunday to pastor that church. Not long ago, he started having some pains in his shoulder. And he's beginning to hurt real bad right in his shoulder. And he just ignored it for a while and finally went to the doctor. And the doctor, when they x-rayed it, they said there's something strange looking around underneath that. He had to pull muscles, what caused the pain. And there's a tumor, a cancer in his shoulder that was malignant. 27 years old, something like that. Malignant cancer. Well, he was just devastated. Here he is working a job. Church not able to support him. Pastoring that little group of people, doing his best, love God, pray. And you know what? That boy's right with God, and he prays and stays close to God. He said, it was a miracle, Brother Dan. He said, it was a miracle that I hurt my shoulder and went to the doctor. He said, that tumor was not even related to that injury. He said, I just went to the doctor, and they found it. That thing could have been in my knee. He said, it could have been in my back. They'd have never knew it till it eat him up. But it just happened to be right there where his shoulder was hurt. He's left. He's leaving this evening after the morning service, going to Chicago for chemotherapy treatment. He's already been two or three times to Chicago, man, dragging that wife, two little young'uns up there, 27 years old. What's some of y'all's problem this morning? Tell me about it. I mean, how pitiful are some of you people here this morning? Hey, how much is it going to cost us to spend a few hours on our knees praying to God we're moving our camp meeting this week? Spoil rotten, brother. We're spoil rotten. And that old boy, it touched my heart. First night I went, it broke my heart. And I don't get my heart broke that easy, but man, it killed me. So I thought, what can I do for him? And I got up, they was taking up an offering for me, and I got up and I said, I hope this is all right, because I believe this is what the Lord wants me to do. I said, I'm going to give the whole offering this weekend to the pastor. And everybody said, okay. No, they said, no, we're going to give you something else. I said, I don't want nothing. I said, whatever you was going to give me, give it to him. I'd feel like a dog taking that. I don't care if it's $1 million. Give it to him. And I don't know what it was. And I told him to just write him a check. They got it last night. And he said, now, preacher, let us give you something for your expense. I said, no, I don't want it. I said, I want you to have it. Listen, man, that guy need help. They need help. We better pray and labor for those that need help. Because one of these days, it's going to be our turn. One of these days, it's going to be me needing help. It's going to be you needing help. While we're healthy, while we can, let's pray, people. Let's pray that God will send us a great meeting. Let's pray that God will get our boys and girls and mamas and grandpas in. Let's use our privilege to pray. Let's pray while we're feeling good. Not wait till some tragedy happens. Not wait till we're in intensive care somewhere. Not wait till it's a have-to case. Let's pray now while we can, while it's easy. So I told him, I said, let's give him the offering. And I got a place tonight, and I said, I'm going to take up the offering tonight. And I said, everybody better give something too. And I said, everybody getting old country people, they got it, man. Don't let them fool you. They got it. Further out in the country, the more they're setting on too. I learned a long time ago that Baptists is always sitting on more money than they'd let the preacher believe. And that goes for you too. You ain't fooling me one bit. There's no need of any church can't be met if everybody in that church will give what they're supposed to. Amen. So we took him up an offering, and he's going to be on his way up there, and I want you to pray for him. That's just one example. You think of the people. You think of the people that need prayer. You think this morning of the young people in this town and the homes and the messes that people got themselves into. Think about it. Think about it. You think of the strain that some people are laboring under and the sin that some people have. If that don't put us on our knees, I guess nothing will. They asked an old preacher one time, they said, "Do you believe America's ever going to have revival?" And he said, "Nope." And they said, "Why, preacher?" He said, "America ain't never going to have revival because we got too much." And that old man knew that we are so comfortable and so blessed and so got it made that we won't seek God like we ought to. Let's jump the gun, you know, too. Let's get ahead of the game here and pray while everything's good. And pray that God, it might avoid a lot of the problems that a lot of folks have to go through. Then begin men call upon the name of the Lord. I don't usually preach a message like this on Sunday morning. Usually I do this on Sunday night or Wednesday night, but maybe there's somebody here this morning. You really need to call upon the name of the Lord. Maybe there's some of you young people here this morning. You need to call on the name of the Lord. You don't know where you're going when you die. The first thing you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. If you are saved here this morning, you need to call upon the name of the Lord for others, for the power of God to come, for the preachers as they preach. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Prayer still works. Still real. Still available. God's still on His throne. God is just as real this morning as He was back in those days when you was shouting the roof off the building. You need to come this morning, you come. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that something that's said or done here today that help these folks to call upon the name of the Lord. We know that we are nothing. Oh God, we're calling on You. We're calling on You. Come and do that that we cannot do for ourselves. Help us. Help us, oh Lord, we pray. Help that one here this morning who's never been saved. Make that step and come to Jesus, for it's too late. Help that boy, girl, mom, or dad. Come and make things right with You. In Jesus' name, amen.